Series entitled Victory in Jesus, and we are looking at the thought this morning, victory over a present world, victory over a present world. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 51 is our text. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 51. The Bible says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruption shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for all the wonderful blessings that you've given to us. And we're grateful for the opportunity that we have to gather together in your name. And Lord, to take time to worship you. Lord, you are truly worthy. And we're grateful for the time that we can open up your word and learn and grow. And Lord, learn about you and learn about us. So, Lord, I pray that you would help us in our time together. I pray that you would bind Satan and his demons. I pray that your word would fall on good ground, that it would grow in our hearts and in our lives and produce fruit. And may you be glorified, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, every day that we live on this earth, we are reminded of the temporal world. It's hard for us to forget that we are a part of the temporal world. I mean, you watch the news for just a couple of moments, and what do you see? You hear about tragedy. You hear about people leaving this world. You hear about hurts everywhere, wildfires, shootings, sickness, death. And oftentimes, people who don't know the Lord will blame God and shake their fist at God for these events. But we understand, as those who are in the light, that all of these events in our world are because of the presence of sin. God created this world, and it was very good. But sin had corrupted God's plan. And the Bible teaches us as believers that we are to focus our attention and live in the world, but we are not of the world. The Bible says we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are not are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal. Now, the Bible teaches us in our text that the sting of sin brings death. Verse 56 teaches us this truth. And the Bible says in Romans 5:12, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned." And the logic of the verse is simple. We are sinners, and because we are sinners, we will one day die. And if we're going to convince ourselves that we are not sinners, then we just are not going to die. And we know that that's not going to happen. And yet the Bible teaches us that Jesus has come to this world to take away the very sting of death. That's a wonderful blessing. A little boy was screaming because a bumblebee had flew into his car. And his dad had caught that bumblebee in his hand in the process. In the process, he was stung. And he told his son, he said, "Listen, son, you don't have to worry about that bumblebee anymore," because he showed his son his hand, and there on his hand, he bore the stinger of that bee. And he said, "Listen, that bee can't sting you anymore. I bear the stinger." And the Bible teaches us that Jesus bore the sting of death for us. Some at Corinth had questioned the resurrection of the dead. The Holy Spirit reminds us of God's victory over this temporal world. You know, in life, death is not a period. It's a comma in the story of life. And the Bible says that we are created in the image of God and we will live somewhere forever. And the Bible gives us some wonderful truth about victory over the temporal world that we live in. Let me give you some thoughts, if I could. Number one, I want us to think about the reminder of life's brevity. A reminder of life's brevity. Now, in 1 Corinthians 15, in verse 51, the Bible says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." Now, there are two terms that God uses to describe death for a believer. The first term is the idea of going to sleep. Now, this is not talking about soul sleepness. This is talking about sleeping in life. It's the idea of waking up in glory. And the Bible says that it also describes death as going home. And it's a wonderful blessing to go home and to be with the Lord. The Bible says to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. Now, the reality is not every Christian will die. The context of this passage of Scripture is speaking of the doctrine of the rapture, or the catching away of believers. The Bible teaches us of the very brevity of life through death or the rapture. The reality is, friends, if you know the Lord, one day we're leaving this temporal world. And the Bible says in James 4, verse 13, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we shall go into such a city, and continue there a year, and buy and sell, and get gain, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that." The Bible says life is a vapor. It is here for a moment in the light of eternity. It is here and then it vanisheth away. Our lives will end in two ways. First of all, God may call us home by death. Now, death is a homegoing for a believer. This is a time appointed. Psalm 48, verse 14 says, "For this God is our God forever and ever, and he will be our guide. He will be our guide even unto death." The Bible says in Hebrews 9, verse 27, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment." There is a time appointed, but death for a believer, it is precious to the Lord. It's precious to the Lord. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. In Genesis 5 and verse 24, the Bible says, "And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 14, the Bible says, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." When a Christian dies, his soul and spirit leaves his physical body and enters into what the Bible calls the third heaven. The third heaven is God's heaven. It is the very presence of Jesus Christ. Therefore, we are also confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. And we are confident, I say, and willing rather, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. What a wonderful day it will be when we see Jesus face to face. And I believe that today. I believe that with all of my heart. If I were to drop dead right now, I would be in the presence of Jesus Christ. That's a wonderful hope, and that's a wonderful confidence to have in our life. And you ought to know that for sure. You ought to know that if you were to die, you would go to be with the Lord. For the Christian, one day our heart will be still and our lungs will no longer fill with air. And the Bible says we will be home with the Lord. What a wonderful day that will be. But also, not only will God one day call us home by death, but also he may call us home by the rapture. Now, the rapture is when God calls all of the believers out of this world to be with him. And the timing of this is unknown, but we must be ready for it to happen at any time. We will be caught up, the Bible says, in a moment. In 1 Thessalonians 4:15, the Bible says, "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God," and "the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." And we are to comfort each other, the Bible says, with these words. The Bible teaches us that we will be caught up, and the Bible says we will be transformed. "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." We'll be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. The Bible says that we will receive a glorified body. We'll drop the curse of sin, and we will put on immortality. 1 Corinthians 15:42, the Bible says, "So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown in a natural body. It is raised in a spiritual body." And there is a natural body, and the Bible says there is also a spiritual body. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, "But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." Amen. Benjamin Franklin's obituary read these words. He said, "The body of Franklin, printer, like the cover of an old book, its contents torn out and stripped of its lettering and girding, lies here. But the work will not be lost, for it shall appear once more in a new and more elegant edition, revised and corrected by the author." One day, the Bible says, we will be changed. Amen. What a wonderful blessing. What a wonderful hope that we have. But number two, I want us to think about the reassurance of victory. The reassurance of victory. So the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, in verse 57, it says, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Thanks be to God. Amen. It is God who gives us the victory. He is greater. He is greater. Psalm 98, verse 1. Would you turn there with me? Psalm 98 and verse 1. Psalm 98 and verse number 1. The Bible says this, verse 1 in the 98th Psalm. The scripture says this, verse number 1, O sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gotten him the victory. Think about this for just a moment, friends, because Christ is the victor, we are also the victor. Victory is a gift. Jesus fulfilled the very righteous demands of the law. And God gives us the victory without any conditions on his children. For by grace are ye saved through faith and not of yourselves. This is the gift of God. And victory is indeed a gift. He does not withhold victory, but freely has provided it through the Lord Jesus Christ, who has already been victorious over death and the grave. And not only is this victory a gift, but this victory, this gift is also a hope that we have. It is a hope that we have of the resurrection of Christ, that we will one day also be resurrected. And this provides confidence for our future, being confident of this very thing, which he which have begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. This gift of victory is a hope that we have, but it's also a gift of grace. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. None of us deserve this grace, but it is freely given as we trust in him. Victory is indeed a gift, but this victory is a gift from Christ. He has given us victory over our sin. He has won victory over Satan. He has won victory over death. And he has won victory over hell. It says in this passage of scripture that our victory comes through our Lord Jesus Christ. And the word through there is a primary preposition, and it means the channel in which the act is accomplished. It means here by which something comes to pass. And we receive our victory not through our own merit. We receive victory not through us being a particular person or being a part of a church or all of these different things. And we can have a long list, but we receive victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the channel in which we become victorious. And because he is victorious and we are in Christ, we are also a part of that victory. That's a blessing to know that we are victorious over this present world. But let's look at number three here as we close our message. And notice here as Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, he's speaking of this victory. He's speaking of what has been accomplished through Christ. And we are a part of that victory. But wait a minute, there's now a response that we ought to have because of that victory. Look what the Bible says in verse 58. It says, therefore. And because we see the word therefore, we ask, well, why is it therefore? And we know it's the context of victory. So because we are victorious, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You know, it's like the Apostle Paul in this passage of Scripture. It's saying, listen, now it's time to serve. Because of what Christ has accomplished in your life, don't get caught up in secondary motives and purposes that don't matter. Live your life for the cause of Jesus Christ. Because of this victory, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast. You know, our motivation is positive in this passage of Scripture. Because we are victorious, we are motivated by the very love of Christ. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. We are motivated by the love of Christ, and we are motivated by the Holy Spirit. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3, and look what the Bible says in verse 20. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 20. Ephesians chapter number 3. Our motivation is positive. We are motivated by the love of Christ. We are motivated by the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 3, verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church of Jesus Christ through all ages, world without end. Amen. What a wonderful passage of Scripture that we have before us, that we are serving the Lord because we are grateful for the victory that we have in Jesus. But notice the manifestation is also measurable. So the Bible gives us two thoughts here, really three thoughts. It says, first of all, to be steadfast. The word there, steadfast, is the idea you understand it means to be seated. It means to be someone who takes a stand and is not easily moved. And then the thought here of unmovable is holding our position with intensity. And so we're to be steadfast. We're to be unmovable. Ephesians chapter 4, Paul, writing to the believers, said, and we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to be deceived. And so we're to be steadfast and we're to be unmovable, and then we're to always be abounding, going beyond the requirements, serving the Lord. The Bible says we're to move forward for the cause of Christ. And all of this is because we are victorious over this present world. We are a Christian that has hope in our life. We are Christians that have purpose in our life. And the Bible says in verse 58, it is not in vain. That's a blessing. It's not in vain. Someone said this, a man may go to heaven without health. He may go to heaven without riches. He may go to heaven without honors, without learning, without education. He may go to heaven without even any friends. But he'll never go to heaven without Christ. Because Jesus Christ is why we have victory. He's the reason. And because we are in Christ, we have victory over a temporal world. And we must take that victory and use it as motivation to keep moving forward for the cause of Christ. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for the opportunity that we have to study your word. And I pray, Lord, this morning that you would use